We've been lucky to have the acclaimed filmmaker Wong Kar-wai join us as a guest a number of times over the past 20 years for his movies Chungking Express, In the Mood for Love, 2046, and My Blueberry Nights. He always manages to surprise viewers with the pure poetry of his style and his unusual approach to daring topics. He's here today to talk about his latest work, quite a departure for him. It's called The Grandmaster, and it looks at the life of Ip Man, who was the key teacher of the martial arts form known as Wing Chun. The Grandmaster stars Tony Leung in the title role and co-stars Ziyi Zhang. It opens today at the AMC Lincoln Square, the AMC Empire, and the Angelica, and I'm very pleased to welcome Wong Kar-wai back to our show. Hello.
Hi, Lenny.
And this is unlike anything else you've done. How long have you been thinking about making this movie?
Actually, we have the idea in 1998. I have a chance to meet with the family of the late Grandmaster Ip Man, and I was always a big fan of Bruce Lee.
And he taught Bruce Lee?
Yeah, and actually when you look at the books and the interviews of Bruce Lee, you realize that a lot of his inspirations actually is coming from this man who trained him. And what make Bruce Lee, because I guess a lot of people follow Chinese martial art or kung fu film because of Bruce Lee, and what makes him so iconic is besides of being a great martial artist, charismatic, and one thing that really impressed people is how civilized he is. He's well-educated. He's very fluent in explaining his idea about his technique. And it's more than just technique. It's also the philosophies. So I've been very curious to know what's behind the story of Ip Man. And finally, I have a chance to meet the family. And during this, at the end of this meeting, they show me a short film. And today, you can find these clips on YouTube. In those days, basically, it's like a great honor because it's a secret. It's a home video, not video actually. It's Super 8.
Probably 8mm, 16mm.
Exactly, it's a home movie shot by his son 3 days before he passed away.
How old was he?
In a film, I still remember seeing in a dark room, and through the projections, you can see the Grandmaster is around like 70s. He's 72. He was very sick, very skinny, almost you can see like a chopstick. And he's wearing his pajamas. He was doing a demonstration. The demonstration is about the famous Wing Chun dummy combination. This combination is actually very legendary because it's the core technique of the Wing Chun combat style.
But you have resisted doing anything about martial arts until now, despite the fact that you've been working in Hong Kong where it's the norm. Was it important for you to have the story of a man rather than some kind of a gangster film in which your hero just winds up beating up all the bad guys?
No, the reason I want to make, because I always want to make a kung fu film, but most of the kung fu film, there's so many before me, it's mainly about the technique or the hero. But here, what triggers me to make this film is because, let me finish this, the moment when I look at this short film, is at the end of it, we can see this the Grandmaster actually stop. You can see actually he's in pain. He rests on this dummy. Maybe he's too sick, or maybe he's just forgot it. But he can carry on. And that is the most emotional part, because I have to guess why he want to do it. Because people offer him for money to do this demonstration, including Bruce Lee, but he never agreed. He said, well, I'm not going to do it for money. And I just doing it for my students. And when you look at this like a short film, at that moment I realized there's some things in the Chinese martial art world is about, like carry on the torch and its legacy. That's the point I want to make.
And it also gave you an opportunity to throw in Chinese history, because he lived during some important times,
right,
including the invasion of China by the Japanese. Other films have been made about him. So you saw a different Ip Man than those other filmmakers?
When we look at the story of Ip Man, look at his life story. He was born at a time when China was still in an imperial time. He went through the Republic, wars, civil wars, Japanese invasions. And he was born with a silver spoon, but at the end of his life, he had nothing.
He lost everything after the Japanese invaded and lost his family.
Yes, he went to Hong Kong, nothing, only by himself. What he has left is only the skill, the technique. And in most of the films about Ip Man, they have to make up stories like he's fighting Japanese or fighting Western fighters to make him more hero. But what I find in Ip Man's life story is like he's more heroic because he's not fighting actually a physical opponent. He's fighting with time and fighting with the up and downs of his life.
Now, how much did you have to learn about Kung Fu before you started making this? I know your star, Tony Leung, who has not been in another Kung Fu film either, has he?
No, this is his first Kung Fu film.
He had to seriously train
right,
to be credible here. 3 years?
Exactly. He broke his arm twice.
Wow. Like, all you had to do is write the script. But a lot
to prepare this film, because I have no idea. I never practiced martial art. So I have to spend 3 years because to understand this film, because this film is not only a Kung Fu film. It's a once upon a time of Kung Fu. So I have to know exactly what the martial art world is about. So I spent 3 years on the road to interview like hundreds of masters.
And in the film, there's a northern style and a southern style.
Right.
Is that still in effect in China today?
No, they're trying to. Today, there's what the government promotes, the state promotes, is called competitive martial art. There's no north and south, and there's no school at all, but it's considered as sports. But this is not exactly what the traditional martial art is about.
Well, in the story here, Ip Man represents the southern masters, and the north is represented by Zi Zhang in the film. Is the approach very different in the north and south, or was it
It used to be that the northern school are not always considered themselves very imperial. But what makes the characters of Gong Er so incredible is because at a time, there's no place for women in martial arts world.
In fact, she couldn't study with some people because she was a woman.
Even though she's very talented, you know.
My guest is Wong Kar-wai, and he is the director, producer, and writer of the screenplay for his latest work called The Grand Master, which is opening in a number of theaters around town. Didn't you make two different versions of The Grand Master for Chinese audiences and Western filmgoers?
No, actually it's not. It's, first of all, we have the international version of the film. The original version of the film is 2 hours and 10. And we have but we have an obligation to release the film in the United States within 2 hours. So instead of just cutting to make it shorter or take out scenes, because I don't think it works that way, the structures of the original versions is very delicate. And also, and for the American audience, I think we would prefer to have a new version instead of a short version. So we have like replace some of the build up with captions, and we have like 15 minutes unseen footage in a film. Because for me, the American audience have a long following history with martial art films, kung fu film. So it's maybe the size of Chinese audience, the American audience are the expert of this genre. So we don't need so many build-ups, which they know already. So we can go directly into the story.
There's also a documentary about your making of the film called The Road to the Grand Master. 10 million hits even before The Grandmaster was released in China a few months back.
Right. Well, actually, it's if you want to see like Tony scream and Zhang Ziyi cry during the training, you should take a look at this.
Is it difficult to portray the history of China these days because of because it can be a rather sensitive subject.
Yeah, it's we can sense that because like the what so China's been went through in this 20 years, we see the big changes, but we're always talking about the modernizations of China, but it cannot simply be westernizations. I think one of the reasons I want to make this film is I think it's about time for us to revisit some of our heritage. There's certain wisdoms and philosophies which can be useful for today's China.
On top of the kung fu, this is also a love story, but as it turns out, an unrequited one between Tony Leung's Ip Man and Xi Zhi Zhang's Gong Er. Do we know that if that's historically true?
The characters of Gong Er actually is fictional, and Gong Er, the presence of Gong Er actually is more than just a woman. We can see the mutual attraction to these two persons is more than just man and woman. It's like there is a mutual attraction because they are the soulmate. They are coming from the same class. And at the end of the film, the long goodbye between Ip Man and Gong Er is not a farewell to friends, but also a farewell to his history, the best time of his life.
What's it like to have worked with an actor for two decades? How many films have you done with Tony Leung?
That's the seventh, and the second with Zhang Ziyi.
And when you thought of doing this film, did you think, oh, I'll have Tony play a kung fu master? He doesn't immediately come to mind for that kind of role.
Well, you know, because when you look at Ip Man, he was never meant to be a street fighter. He was from a very rich family, and he was considered like an aristocrat at his time. So you cannot just get like an action star to play this role. And I know Tony can manage that, but can he fight? That's the problem. So this is a challenge for him.
Was it difficult for Ip Man as a rich man to become a kung fu master, or did the fact that he didn't have to worry about getting a job allow him to perfect his craft?
That's what used to be. That's a saying in the martial art world. Used to be, you need to be a rich man to practice martial art because you have to focus on yourself. Basically, you have to practice like in the morning, in the afternoon. So the only way you can to deal with that is you have to be wealthy.
You have a reputation for not always following the script. How much did Tony know when you started shooting each morning?
The thing, I think for this film, he feel more secure because there's actual persons he can follow.
And he knows you can't change his life story.
Exactly. But we have some like a space because no one's know exactly what has happened or what Ip Man looked like in before 40. So we can imagine he's like a young Bruce Lee.
Xi Zhang became an international star when she played the young girl in Ang Lee's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So she has more of a background in this kind of film.
Well, she has a training in Chinese dance, and of course it's a bit more easier for her to manage the martial art skill. But in this film, it's because he's not doing like a normal kung fu film, like doing all this clothes, only the clothes up and let the body double to do it. She has to do everything by herself. And in fact, to portray Gong Er, she has to practice not besides of martial art film, and she has to have that manner. Is she almost like the Greta Garbo from the North?
Well, have you worked with her before?
Yeah. I worked with her on 2046.
Now, not having body doubles and other people doing the more risky things has been something of a tradition in Hong Kong films, hasn't it? Jackie Chan has broken more bones than most rodeo bull riders.
The thing is, it's one thing that I'm sure before I start this film, Bruce Lee has no special effects, and it applies to this film too.
You in films like this, you actually have to have a choreographer. They have to know both martial arts and dance, in effect.
So we have Yuan Huping, the great action choreographer, with me. who's been doing all this like great martial art film, Crouching Tiger, Matrix, everything.
So does he do the version, kind of a direction on his own?
No, we work closely together because the first meeting we have, I told him that I want this action scene to be authentic. There's no wire, there's no crazy stuff, over-the-top action. I don't want a show. I want a martial art film. And I want both Tony and G to do the action by themselves.
Well, he has directed his own films.
No.
He hasn't?
For Yuan Kuping?
Yeah.
Yes, he also have the. He's been also a very successful director himself.
I was amused by the name of your director of photography, Philippe Lesourd. That means Philippe the Deaf One, doesn't it? in French? Well, at least he didn't do the sound. But has he done a lot of films in Hong Kong?
No, Philippe actually worked with me on all my commercials. He's very attached to his family. He lives in New York. And he don't want to do a feature film because that would drive him away from family for a long time. But he wanted to do a kung fu film. So when I offered him this chance, I said, Philippe, do you want to make a kung fu film with me? He said, how long? I said, probably 1 year. And he said, okay. But it took us 3 years to finish this film.
The settings are often gorgeous. It's my sense that you worry as much about what's in the background and what's going to be smashed during the fight as you do about the fight itself.
Well, I'm very lucky because I have William with me, a wonderful production designer who worked with me since my first film. And when you look at the fight between Gong'er and Tony in this brothel, beautiful gold pavilions. So we set a rule because we don't want to break things.
But William Chung is both production designer and the editor, isn't he?
Yes, and he's responsible for the costumes, the look, and everything.
So is he anticipating how to edit your scenes while you're shooting?
Yes, but now, because we know each other so well, he never actually look at the footage or when we are shooting. So he just want to have the surprise.
The film we have been discussing, The Grandmaster, is Wong Kar-wai's latest. It is opening today at the AMC Lincoln Square, the AMC Empire, and the Angelica. Are you planning to surprise us with your next film, something totally different again?
I'm sure, but I don't have an idea about what it is or what it will be at this point. I think I'm still at the jet lag, and the time difference is 1936 until now.
Thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thank you, Lenny.